I remember when I was waiting to go before the board of credential board, first time, and I'm still wearing my spiritual diapers at that time, but went in, and there was a guy that had just been in there, and he came out, and he said, how'd it go, man? We were all talking about, you know, talking to each other. He says, all right. He said, they asked me, well, what makes you think that you're called to the ministry? He says, well, what part of Matthew 28 don't you understand? So go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? So, oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I remember that, right? How many of we're all called? Not everybody's called to pastoral ministry, but we're all called, right, to the work of the Lord. I want to share with you before I get into really the teaching, preaching this morning, that nothing has really changed as far as what the Lord has given us as an assignment, as a commandment, as His parting words. The people's parting words are the most powerful words, amen. And that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so God has given every one of us that assignment. We're all called to build, to be builders, to be involved in the building up of the body of Christ, amen, to reach the lost, to make disciples, even of nations. And my heart's desire is to impart what God has imparted into me, into you, and that you would also do likewise and impart into others what you receive, and that there would be a chain reaction in the Spirit. And how many realize that what you give away, you don't lose? And so if God gives you a word, share that word, all right? Gives you a revelation, share that revelation. But God wants each one of us to understand that where you live, where you work, where you walk, that is your mission field, that is your assignment. And I know there are times when we may do something corporately as a church, such as Church Without Walls or some type of organized outreach. We do revivals at times, but most of it is to bring people in. But you and I are the ambassadors that are to go out, amen, and to evangelize those around us. And so if each one would reach one, if we would pray and say, Lord, who is it that you're calling me to, that you're sending me to? How many know that if you are where God wants you to be and you speak to the people that God calls you to speak to, that He'll give you the exact words to speak? And the word would not fall to the ground, amen? It will be effective. It will accomplish what the Lord set forth to do. And so the vision is simple, guys, that we're all ambassadors and we're all called really to a lifestyle of evangelism, and that is by creating relationships with people that we know, that we work with, amen. And God has given us a house, amen, where the house of God, the church, can dwell, amen, and come together and as a place of assembly, of sharing in the life of Jesus together, of worshiping the Lord, amen, and being equipped for the work of the ministry, amen. So that's what it's about, guys. It's about being equipped and then taking what you have learned and sharing it, amen, with somebody else. And when God does something for you, if God has performed a miracle in your life, then you can also give what you receive. I believe that. Amen. And the word of your testimony is powerful. As you share with others what God did for you then, it brings what He did then into what the now. That's why Israel was to remember Passover, so they would not forget what the Lord had done. And when we take communion together, we're reminding ourselves, if you will, revisiting that place where we had communion with the Lord in our hearts for the first time, amen, where we had pledged our faith to the Lord as we had entered into covenant with the Lord as the bride. So God's heart is for a bride. He's preparing a people. We, as the church, are referred to as the bride of Christ. Of course, Jesus being the bridegroom. And so the Lord wants His bride to be holy, to live a pure life, to divorce itself, amen, from the world. I want to talk about that this morning. Because God does not want his people becoming defiled by the world, by being seduced by the things of the world. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, and the title of the message today is A Hope That Purifies, A Hope That Purifies. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him does what? Purifies himself, just as he is pure. The word for hope in Webster says to look forward to with desire and reasonable confidence. So hope is a word that speaks of looking into the future with a sense of expectancy. If you lose your hope, you've lost everything. You will stop in your journey, in your tracks. Hopelessness, amen, will stifle you. Hopelessness will take the wind out of your sail. And because some have given in to hopelessness, they have actually just basically given up. They've quit. And you and I can never lose as long as we don't quit. My responsibility is to be faithful and to put my faith in the faith of him. To put my faith in the faithfulness of the Lord. So I'm not relying upon my faith, but upon his faithfulness. So my eyes are not on me, but on Jesus. And I find grace through him, strength through him, to do whatever he's called me to do, to be whoever I've been called to be. Amen. By the grace of the Lord. And as Paul said, I am who I am today by the grace of God. New Living Translation, 1 John 3, 2 says, dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And verse 3 says, and all who have this eager expectation, hope, will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. So people who are operating in hope live a pure life. Those who are operating with an eager expectation of a future with the Lord, amen, will keep themselves pure. Those who have lost sight of where they're going will not keep themselves pure. They will end up being seduced and drawn away into the things of the world and defiled thereby. And God is coming for a church, a holy bride that has not prostituted herself with the world, but has come out of the world and has become separate. Amen. The Lord says, if you will come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, then you will be my sons and my daughters, and I will be a father to you. Amen. And you will be my sons and my daughters. So the promise of the Lord's return has a sanctifying influence on our lives. When we really believe the truth, those who truly believe in the return of Jesus will guard themselves against worldliness. Now, the godly, they don't want to be engaged in anything that would, you know, defile them. And they don't want to be engaged in anything that they would not want to be doing if Jesus were to return. So when it comes to Christian liberty and the things that you allow in your life, you need to ask the question, would I be doing this if I knew that Jesus was coming during this moment? Remember the old thing they used to have, the necklaces and the wrist thing? What would Jesus do? Amen. Well, that's important that we understand what Jesus would do. But also, how many know it's important that we know what Jesus is doing today? That we would join him in what he's doing. All right. The question is, you know, would you be still be drinking at that bar? Would you be gambling? Would you be smoking pot if you knew the Lord would return at any moment? How about watching those movies? or listening to that same music or engaging in that conversation if you knew that Jesus could return at any moment? First John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Guys, let me just say this. I want to be authentic. I want to be real. I want to know how it really is between me and my Lord. I don't want to fake it. I don't want to assume everything is well if it's not. I want to know that I have peace with God. Amen. And verse 17, it says the world, the cosmos is the word, is passing away. And the cosmos is really that system that is in opposition. It's the spirit of Antichrist, if you will, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, most of us are pretty familiar with this scripture. Amen. And yet there are those who know what it says, but they ignore it. But we're being warned here by John. This is a warning. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. Because if we are in love with the world, the love of the Father will not be in us. In other words, you cannot be double-minded. You cannot have split affections. Either you're sold out for Jesus, or you're going to be lukewarm and you're going to be compromising in your walk. You're going to be worldly. And God has called us to be separate. He's called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He has called us as a bride, amen, to be in preparation for the day of the consummation of the marriage, the wedding supper of the Lamb. Jesus is coming for a church that is holy, that is without spot, without blemish. Amen. The Lord is looking for those who are looking for him. The bride anticipates the day of the coming of the bridegroom. And so she prepares herself because she has an eager expectation that at any time the bridegroom could return. So she lives in a state of readiness, and that means that she pulls away from anything that could defile her garments so that she will be pure and she'll be ready in the day when the bridegroom comes. How many know that the Lord is coming? And he's coming for those who are looking for him. We're clearly warned not to love the world or the things in the world. Why is that important? Because the love for the world is not compatible with the love for the Lord. You cannot have split affections. Let me just say this. The reason why a lot of Christians are very unstable in their walk is because of worldliness, because of split affection. They've got one foot in the Lord, amen, and one foot in the world. And they vacillate between the two. Are you hearing me? And James said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God doesn't want his people hooked or tethered to this world. If you think of this world as a sinking ship, well, you don't stay on a sinking ship if you've got any sense. Amen? You want to get untethered from anything that will keep you tethered to this old world system. Amen? And to your old life. God wants a complete cut from the old way, the old life, that you may walk in new life, amen, in the resurrection power of Jesus and have life and peace in the Spirit. He doesn't want his people bound by anything. He wants his people to be free, amen, from the power of sin, from guilt and shame, amen, and from the power of Satan. God wants a free people, and he wants a willing bride that is consensual in this relationship, that is willing to call on him. The bride of Christ is to keep herself pure and undefiled from the world. In James 1:27, it says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble, and to what? Keep oneself unspotted from the world, the cosmos." How many know the Christian life is a life of practical life, practical love, practical holiness? How many know what you do in the natural matters? What you do in your body or in your flesh matters. Because what we do in our flesh can affect our spirit. And so by the Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to control what we do in our flesh in this world. Because the Christian life is impossible apart from the Holy Spirit. If you're just trying to be a good person, you won't be. If you surrender your life to Him and trust Him, rely upon Him, then you will be a good follower of Jesus. Amen. Because the grace of God will be available to you then. And it's by the grace of God that we are who we are and that we can do what He calls us to do. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. What is the lust of the flesh? Refers to the sensual body appetites that proceed from our evil nature. When we were born, naturally, we were born with a sin nature. And that's the part of us that has to die. That's the part of us that has to be denied. We cannot allow that part of us to operate any longer. Now, how do you put your flesh to death? Well, only by the power of the Spirit. If you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Amen? And you'll have the ability to control what happens in your body. All right? The lust of the eyes, of course, it applies to evil desires that may arise from what we're looking at. The pride of life. You know, this is kind of like one translation says it's the boasting of what one has and does. So even in the Lord, if we're going to do any boasting, we must be careful to boast only in the Lord and give the Lord the praise for any accomplishments in our lives, understanding that without Him, we can do nothing. Amen. So if we're going to give praise to God. Amen. But it really is speaking of an unholy ambition of self-display, of needing to be seen, wanting to be the center of attention. That's why social media is so attractive to so many, because people can have a platform on there where they can seek attention and get attention. But, you know, if you look at the life of our Lord, the example that He set for us is that Jesus never did anything to draw attention to Himself. Somebody say amen. As a follower of Jesus, we are not to draw attention to ourselves. Let God do that. God will draw people to you. Amen. But don't draw attention to yourself. If you draw attention to Jesus, then Jesus can use you. Amen. And though He has a vessel that can be trusted, because God will not give His grace to the prideful. If you want the grace of God in your life, you need to humble yourself and get over yourself and not make it about you, but make it about Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, I have not come to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. Jesus didn't come to present Himself. He didn't have His own agenda. And so you and I should not have our own agenda. We need to lay that down at the altar and say, Lord, what is Your will? What is Your plan for my life? And there are things that God will allow you to do in life because He gives you liberty to choose. And some of them are not sinful. And some of those things God will say, you're free to do this in life. You're free to make some choices. You're free to dream. You can use that which I've already invested in you, those gifts, those abilities, amen, to do something with that in this world, amen. But remember that in all things we're supposed to do it for the glory of God. Not to draw attention to ourselves. But if we have a platform, it should always be to give God the glory for the things that He has done in your life. So people will turn their eyes upon the one that can help them, because you and I, apart from Jesus, are no help. If we're presenting ourselves, we're not helping anybody. Hear me? We need to be presenting Jesus to every man, woman, boy, and girl. Amen. Now, there's three elements of worldliness, and this is all illustrated, of course, in the sin of Eve. And we see that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. She saw the tree was, it was good for food. Now, they weren't supposed to be anywhere near that, but they were compromising a little bit. They were kind of getting into dangerous territory. And so there they begin to lust after something. And it was pleasant to the eyes. That is the lust of the eyes. It was a tree that was desirable to look upon. And the fruit looked delicious. And so it was to be desired also to make one wise. The devil said, it'll make you smart. You'll be just as smart as God if you do this. And what does that describe? Well, that's the pride of life. And this is where it all began to fall apart. Is when man decided to live independent of his creator. And the same thing is true today. Even as a believer, if we try to live independent of our creator, things are going to fall apart. The devil is opposed to Christ. Amen. So our flesh or our sin nature is hostile to the Spirit. And the fallen world is hostile to the Father. That's why we cannot love the world or the things in the cosmos and that evil system that we have to live in. Amen. Jesus said we're in the world, but we're not of it. Amen. So worldliness, simply stated, is the love for passing things. It's putting your whole life investment in temporary things. Our hearts can never find satisfaction with those things. Would you agree? I was trying to find satisfaction, like the old song by the Rolling Stones, I can't get no satisfaction. Well, I can tell you where they can find satisfaction. Amen. In the purpose of God for your life, this is where you're going to find true satisfaction. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, what? There your heart will be also. Now, how many would agree with me that you can find what a person values by what they possess and what they focus on, what they live for? Amen. If a person really loves the Lord, that will be obvious too. Amen. Because their whole life will be revolving around Jesus and not around themselves. It's not about what I can get. What can I do for Jesus? He's done so much for me already. I owe him everything. How many believe that you owe Jesus everything? The rest of your life to live for him? And again, many people are weak, they're sickly, they're not overcoming, they're not having victory because they have split affections. They're double-minded. They still want to be in the world, but they want to be a Christian too. How many know they're just not compatible? You have to make up your mind. Who are you going to serve? Amen. I had to cut a lot of things out of my life when I came to Jesus. And it didn't happen right away, but God began to deal with me about certain things. And I began to yield to those convictions that I had, that there were certain things that even in themselves, they were not sinful, but they were not right for me. And I had to let them go. I was really pursuing a career in music and wanting to make a life out of that. And God had other plans. And so I praise God that he interrupted my plans with his superior plan. If we would give proper attention to building up our spiritual strength through prayer and through fellowship, through the word of God, then the love of the world would lose its influence over us. Again, the problem is, if we have split affections, we're not giving due diligence to the most important part of us, and that is our spirit. We need to be focusing on spending our time, whatever you're listening to, whatever you're dwelling on, amen, do something that's going to build, that's going to edify, that's going to strengthen you. Because if you don't get your roots down deep enough, eventually your house is going to collapse. Can you say amen? There are a lot of people who begin well, but they finish poorly because they never get their roots down deep enough. Because of split affections, because they still are keeping themselves tethered to the world, but then they're also involved in the things of God. And a double-minded man is what? Unstable. And there's no stability. And so sometimes people go through counseling month after month, year after year, and they never get better. Why? Because they never make that full plunge, that full surrender, that full commitment to Jesus. Are you hearing me? You know, God has called us to die to our old life, die to ourselves, and to live for Him from here on out. That's where you will find your life. He says, if you will save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you will find it. And that other part of you that doesn't want to give up this and give up that is a part that you have to deal with. That you have to put to death, that you have to deny that part of you that would resist the will of God for you, because the will of God for you is good for you. It's best for you. Amen. And that other part of you, amen, that would rebel against the will of God is the part that we have to put to death. And how do you do that? By drawing near to God, by being built up in the Spirit, so that your inner man overpowers your outer man. And now you have stability and control over what your outer man is doing. Hello, somebody. You allow yourself to go spiritually. You allow yourself to become weak because you're not feeding yourself like you need to. Amen. You're not nourishing yourself in the Spirit. Amen. Now, all of a sudden, that other part, that outer man, becomes stronger and he becomes more susceptible to the temptations of the world that would try to seduce you away from Christ and get you back into the place where you once left. Are you hearing me, somebody? And you don't want to be in that place because the Lord is coming for those who are what? Eagerly expecting His return. Looking for Him. Those who are looking for Him are living for Him. I'm going to say it again. Those who are looking for Him are those who are living for Him. I made the decision. I needed to make the decision. I had vacillated in my life growing up, in and out of church and in and out of things that I was trying to get myself together, get things. And they didn't, you know, how many have you ever heard, well, I tried Christianity, but it didn't work for me. You know, you don't sample God. Amen. You got to give Him your life and then He can do something with your life. But as long as you are, you know, holding out on God, He's not going to just grab from you, amen, what you're not willing to give Him. So you have to give Him the whole offering. So I came to the place where I was done. Amen. I came to the end of myself. Hallelujah. I got tired of eating hog food. And I said, Lord, if you can do something with this, help me. Because everything I've done, it seems like it was falling apart. You know, and sometimes, guys, people are deceived into thinking because they're successful in the world that that means they have God's favor. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. You can use the gifts and the abilities God has given you for yourself and be successful in that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that God has favored you in that, because you have a free will and you can do what you want with your will. But how many know a wise person does not invest in a bank that is going bankrupt? Once again, if we want to give ourselves, amen, to the Lord and to His purposes, how many know that's the best investment you can make? To sow your life in this world knowing that you can't keep it anyways. And the day will come when the Lord is going to call every one of us home. And each one of us has an appointment with God. Amen. We do have our day in court. And I want to hear the Lord say in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. So whenever we're successful, we really need to be careful to maintain an attitude of humility and gratitude. Amen. If God blesses you, bless somebody else. Be grateful. Amen. And bless. In the book of Joshua, Israel had witnessed God's divine intervention on their behalf, and the Lord had given them victory after victory. He stopped the flow of the Jordan so they could cross over on dry land. God helped Israel defeat the kings of Sihon and Og in battle. God had caused the fortified walls of Jericho to fall on their behalf. How many remember that Joshua fought the battle of Jericho? It is obvious that God was with them and that he was helping them. But there came a time when Israel could no longer defeat their enemies. And why was that? Because of compromise and secret sin. You see, sometimes we can begin well and begin in the Spirit and be victorious because we rely upon the Holy Spirit. And then, after a while, we can begin to detach, disconnect from the Lord because of the allurements of the world, and the world is drawing us, trying to allure us away from the Lord. Are you hearing me? And without realizing it, we can become weak and susceptible. And we can fall prey to temptation. If you try to compromise in your walk, you will lose every time. How many know that secret sin will cause you to fall before your enemies? There are no secrets with God. So we need to guard against spiritual sloppiness and laziness. The most important part of you is your spirit, is your heart. And you need to guard it with all diligence. And you need to make sure that you build yourself up spiritually, that you are strong, Ephesians 6, in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because that's the only way we can overcome the flesh, amen, the sin and the devil, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to learn how to build, amen, ourselves in the Spirit. We do that through prayer, through worship, amen, through the Word of God, and through fellowship. Huge. There are a lot of people that don't think it's all that important to be in fellowship with other Christians. Or just occasionally, once in a while, if I feel like it, I'll go to church. The Lord is the one that wants. How many would agree that Jesus wants people in church? Yeah. Amen. How many know that the Lord wants us together as often as we can? I'm not saying, we're not talking about coming under some kind of legalistic bondage, but amen, being faithful to the Lord and what he wants you to do with your life. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, I prayed about it. And, you know, and the Lord approved my decision. And you're thinking, you think Jesus approved that decision? I don't think you're hearing the right voice. It was like this funeral I was at one time, and I was doing some music for it. And she gets up and she says, yeah, me and so-and-so, the guy that deceased, we used to like to smoke pot and just read the Bible together. And I asked her afterwards, I said, you think Jesus is okay with that? You getting high and then reading the Bible together? She said, oh, yeah. I said, if Jesus was with you, do you think you would be okay? He would be okay with that? Oh, yeah, I think he would. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's because maybe their Jesus wouldn't, but my Jesus wouldn't allow that. Why? My Jesus says, be sober-minded. But you see, we can justify anything we want in our lives. Make excuses for it. But before God, it will not stand. And the day is coming when we will give an account. So God wants his people to be holy. He wants us untethered from anything that would keep us connected to this sin-sick world. Amen. So that we as a bride are in preparation, looking forward with an eager expectation, amen, of the coming of the bridegroom who will call us, amen, to himself. He will gather those who are prepared. And they will come into the wedding banquet. And those who are not prepared will begin to knock and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Too late. Now here's a little history about the fall of Jericho. God had warned Israel not to take of the accursed things or the devoted things. These things were devoted to the Lord. They were not to take certain items from the city when it fell. And so they were not to possess them. They were not to take them into their tents, into their camp. So they were like a kind of first fruit offering to the Lord. after the city was taken. And so in Joshua 6:17, the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, speaking of Jericho. And it and all who are in it, only Rahab the harlot shall live. She and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Verse 18, and you, by all means, hear it, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. How many know what we do personally and privately affects others? Somebody say amen. Verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. But there was a man named Achan who decided in his heart that a little compromise would do no harm. Little did he know that his personal actions would affect the entire camp and cost him everything. Israel had great confidence that the city of, I'm going to say it, Ai, is how it's pronounced, Ai, was going to be another victory for them. Based upon how the Lord had given them victory after victory, they had a confidence that, hey, this is going to be a cakewalk. So in Joshua 7:4, about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. What was happening here? They had great confidence, all right? But it was misdirected confidence. The people didn't understand what was going on because God had given them victory after victory, and this was going to be another victory. Except what they didn't realize is because of the actions of one individual and his family, a curse had come on the camp, and everybody suffered because of it. This battle, of course, turned out to be a disaster, and 36 people lost their life because of the compromise of really one individual. Joshua, of course, was devastated. He fell on his face before the Lord in verse 6. He tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, and he and the elders of the city, and they put dust on their heads. Now, note in Joshua's prayer here to God, God is being blamed for the defeat. He said in verse 7, alas, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites and to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. So already they're thinking, well, why don't we just go back? And why bother? Why go any further? Already defeated in their hearts. How many times has God been blamed for the choices that others have made? Have we ever done that? Probably so, huh? Remember, God had already warned them. And today, God is warning his church, his people, against worldliness, having split affections. So God interrupts Joshua's pity party here in verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have put it among their own stuff. Things that were devoted to the Lord that they were not to touch, they took into the camp. They compromised. He probably thought, oh, maybe just a few shekels of silver, you know, a little wedge, right? A little garment, no big deal. Nobody will miss it. Besides, who's going to really know about it? How many know there are no secrets with God? Mark 4:22, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So again, Achan's personal compromise affected the entire camp. You know, guys, if we're going to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, then we're going to have to separate from it. Are you hearing me? A lot of times it's not that people are even intentionally doing something wrong, but it's because they lack the knowledge of God and they're blind and they're not aware that they're doing something that's wrong. But even in that, there are consequences. You heard the saying, ignorance is no excuse for the law, right? It doesn't change the fact there are certain things in place. God has set certain rules and laws in place that if we violate them, there are consequences. And that's why we need the truth. We need to teach the truth. We need to hide the word in our hearts so that we do not sin against God. Amen. So that we're knocking with blinders on and not aware that somehow I'm being offensive to the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. This is New Testament, Church of Corinth. Verse 18, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Back to Joshua chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Why? Because of compromise. You and I will not be able to defeat the enemy in our lives as long as we are tethered to the world. As long as we are unrepentant and unwilling to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we will continue to stay bound. You can go to counseling till the cows come home. Amen? And you are not going to get free until you come to the place where you surrender your life to Jesus and say, Lord, you decide now. You're Lord of my life. What stays and what goes? If God says no, to me it's no. If he says yes, to me it's yes. Amen? He says, neither will I be with you anymore. Why? Because they were compromising. They took the things that were doomed to destruction. Unless you destroy the accursed from among you. So his personal sin had caused weakness. It caused fear and destruction to come on Israel. So what happens in private has public consequences or influence. So what happened is they had to remove Achan and everything that belonged to him. Amen? And it was to be burned. Every trace of sin had to be removed from the camp. Every trace. So Israel could once again stand against their enemies. Do you really want to be free indeed? Do you want to live a life of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit? Amen. Then surrender it all. Give God everything and obey the instruction of the Lord. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the voice of God. Cut out of your life everything he tells you to cut out of your life. Amen. God wants his people to be free. Amen. But if we have affections for other things, if we have other gods, other things that we are putting before God, things that take the place of God in our hearts. Are you hearing me? The love of money can be one of those. Pursuing wealth and the things and the temporary things of this world can be an idol. Anything that would hinder you in your walk, anything that would come between you and your Lord, get rid of it so that you can have the full flow of his Spirit working in and through your life and you can live free of guilt and condemnation and shame, amen, and walk with a clean slate, hallelujah, clear conscience, so you can serve the Lord free of guilt. God wants his people to be free. God wants his people to be untethered from the things of this world, the things that are coming to naught. Amen. For soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. He's coming. Today is the day where you need to make a decision who you will serve. Let me just introduce this here. We got a few more minutes. What can be accursed things today? There's so many things, but let me give you some that a lot of even Christians don't think about. Some of them are obvious, but some of them are more subtle. How many know we're living in a time where we really need to pray for discernment? That the Lord will help us to see what is clearly approved of Him and what He disapproves of. Amen? What is right and what is wrong. And the Holy Spirit can help us with that, but we must pray. Amen? We must have the Word of God, the knowledge of God. Now listen, occult objects, anything related to the occult, witchcraft, Satanism, shamanism, crystals, good luck charms, anything that you're putting your faith in. I wear this around. I see Christians wearing charms and thinking that thing's going to, that's a magnet for a demon. That's an accursed thing, guys. People got stuff in their houses. That's just a cute little Buddha. It's a cute little statue. I don't know what it means, but you know, it could have been from some pagan ritual and people aren't even aware. Sometimes they're having problems in their house because they've got garbage in their house. And it's not that they mean to do that. It's just that they're not aware that these things are disapproved by God because we lack discernment. And we lack discernment often, hear me, because of compromise. Because of compromise, amen, we cannot see clearly because our vision becomes obscured. It becomes clouded when we are half in the world and half in the Lord. It's only a Dungeons and Dragons game. It's only a reading board, a Ouija board. It's just a game. To have fun with this thing. How many know those are magnets for the demonic? People are getting possessed through these things that they are playing around with. God says, come out from among them and be separate and I'll receive you. Get rid of them. The early church took all their stuff and burned it. Anything related to idol worship, amen, to the occult world, they took it and they burned it. They cleansed themselves and their house, amen. And they got rid of anything that could defile, anything that could hinder them, anything that could keep them tethered and bound, amen, demonically. They not only said, Lord, we're sorry, but we're going to prove that our repentance is sincere. By what we do. John the Baptist said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Amen? If you say you're repentant, then make the change. Get rid of the stuff. Quit listening to that music anymore. Quit going and gambling. Quit drinking in the bars. Are you hearing me, somebody? Quit doing the things that you know God does not approve of you doing. Amen? And quit trying to justify things when you know deep down in your heart that God doesn't want His bride involved in those things. Are you hearing me? It's only a little game. No, it's not a little game. It's a demonic trap. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, obvious ones, right? Sex outside of marriage, hatred, unforgiveness, jealousy, envy, pride, these things. These will cause destruction in your life. God wants your life to be blessed. He wants to bless His bride, His children. He wants to make His people beautiful. Amen. But we can't be beautiful if we're wallowing in the mud. We've got to come out from that. Amen. Quit going back into the pit. Amen. Quit returning to the vomit. As a dog would vomit and turn around and eat it again. That's what it's like. When God cleans you up, He forgives you, and then you go right back into the same thing again. Do you love the Lord? How many know that these things grieve the Lord? How many know that we should not allow anything in our lives that in any way would grieve the Lord, grieve the Spirit? Why? Because we want to live for Him. You want to please the one that you love. You want to live for the one that you love. Amen. You're willing to do anything for the person you love. You're willing to give your life for somebody that you really love. God's calling us to give our lives for Him. God's calling us to commit ourselves fully to Him and have no other lovers, no other gods. Divorce ourselves from the evil things of this world. Amen. These are just a few things. In Acts chapter 19 and 18, it says, many who had believed came confessing first, telling their deeds They came clean. They became honest before God, amen, and others. And verse 19, also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. What did they do? They brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. There was a lot of stuff that they had to get rid of. What did these early believers do? They truly repented of their sins. And they removed from their lives anything that displeased the Lord that could keep them tethered to their old way of life. Guys, I remember when I was back in youth ministry and this girl was wearing an occult symbol around her neck. And I felt it was time the Lord prompted me to talk to her about that. I said, honey, I want to encourage you to not wear that anymore. Get rid of that thing because that is a magnet for a demon. And she got really angry. Her countenance completely changed. And she grabbed that thing and ripped it, literally broke it off her neck and threw it down and walked off. Well, she got rid of it. But you see how that thing had a hold on her. As a matter of fact, sometimes people don't get free from demons until they get rid of the stuff hanging around their neck. Or the stuff in their homes. Why are things going boom in the night, right? Sometimes people unknowingly brought stuff into their homes. Guys, let me ask you this. Would you be willing to really pray and seek the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you if there's anything that in your jewelry box and in your home that is in any way tethering you to the occult, amen, or to the enemy or to this world, would you be willing to ask him to reveal it to you, first of all? And secondly, would you be willing to actually get rid of it? All for Jesus. Guys, no more compromise. There's no time for that anymore. It's time that we grow up and we become mature. Amen. And we understand that we take responsibility as a child of God. Amen. And as God's representative in this world, I need to be responsible for what I allow or disallow in my life. And I need to completely come out and separate myself from anything that could defile me or hinder me in my walk so that I can be fully surrendered and available for the Lord to use as a vessel of honor. God wants his church to be pure. He wants us to be holy. Are you hearing me? When I came to the Lord, I was still in the world in the sense that I was born again. I was alive for the first time. And something had definitely changed. But I was still playing the music of the world, you know. And I was in a band. But after a little while, God began to deal with me. And in fact, as I started to talk about Jesus more and more to the band, we started to grow distant in our relationship. And that thing just kind of fell apart. Amen. But I realized, too, for me, that music was a stumbling block. Music, the world music and the music that I used to live for, could easily draw me right back into a place where I didn't want to be. Somebody say amen today. And I had to cut that thing off. I had to say, you know what? I'm not listening to that garbage anymore. All right? If I'm going to listen to music, listen to something that's going to build you, something that's going to edify you, something that's going to inspire you, man, something that is anointed. Amen? And quit wasting your time reading all the other stuff. How many know there's only so many hours in a day? Why don't you spend your time reading the Word of God instead of novels and all this other stuff? Amen? What we feed ourselves eventually is going to come out. You've heard it said, garbage in, garbage out. So we got to get the good in, amen, so the good will come out. Hallelujah. So I have to make a decision who I'm going to serve. And Lord, I'm willing to do anything you want me to do. I'm willing to get rid of anything that you say is no good for me. And that's where things begin to change. I came to that place where I was really, truly, for the first time in my life, surrendering to the Lord. And then I was finding the power of God in my life, the grace of God in my life. Things began to happen. God began to use me. Yeah. I started to burn for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. My heart was full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because I was cooperating with the Holy Spirit and positioning myself for God to fill me. Amen. And I was getting rid of the garbage so that He would have a clean vessel to work through. And I never regretted once anything that I gave up for the will of God. I struggled with some of those things. I didn't want to give that up, especially the band and those things. But after a while, it's just like, you know what, that's got to go too. And God began to open doors for me to use my stuff, amen, in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Use the talents now. And I just want to give it all back to Jesus, amen, and serve Him with it. It seems like the more I was trying to fill myself with me, the worse it got. Oh, so much. Thank you, Lord. What we do in secret influences others. If you and I are really going to walk in love, then we walk in consideration of others. How does my life affect others? Am I drawing them to the Lord or am I pushing them away? Romans 13:10 says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And 1 John 4:8, it says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. How many know a tree is known by its fruit? Do you want God's strength? Do you want His blessing? Do you want His protection? Do you want His favor in your life? Then listen to His voice. If there's secret sin in your heart, deal with it severely. Would you bow your heads? I want you to think about this. In Matthew 5:29, Jesus said, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. He's saying, deal with sin. Be severe with sin. If it's something God is convicting you about, obey Him. Listen to the voice of the Lord and you'll prosper. We need to understand that our life is going to end quickly, soon. And we're all going to stand before the Lord. So we need to search our soul and put away everything that displeases the Lord. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. As I've been speaking to you this morning, has the Lord been dealing with you about something? I know the Lord has been speaking to some of us here today. And if the Lord is speaking to me today, I need to listen as well. But we need to be willing to obey His voice. God says no more compromise. No more compromise. You've got to be all in with Him. God is calling you and I to a full surrender. A full surrender. How many have heard the word today and saying, you know what? I need to make a full commitment. I need to quit playing around with the world. I need to come out completely. I need to completely give myself over to Jesus. How many would say, that's me, I need to make a full commitment of my life? Just slip your hand up if it's you. I need to surrender my life to Jesus today. Amen. See, God bless you for your humility and your honesty. There's others here. God is calling you to a full surrender of your life to Him. That means God first in all things. You're going to live no longer for yourself, but for Him who died for you and rose again. We are to offer our bodies back to Him as living sacrifices, which is our reasonable service. If you want to live free, if you want to get the devil out of your camp, then you need to come clean. And I want to encourage you when you get home to pray and say, Lord, is there anything in my home, anything in my jewelry box, anything I need to get rid of, even physical items such as fetishes or charms, then get rid of them. And don't give them over to the goodwill. Amen. Get rid of them. Hallelujah. Burn it. Destroy it. Hallelujah. You know what? God is positioning His bride. He's positioning His church. And I believe that revival is coming. But before we can really receive what God has, we need to make sure that we get all the stuff out of us that doesn't belong there. Are you willing to go all the way with Jesus today? Just say amen. Hallelujah.